Trust. We have Martin Dippy, Vivian Seaton and Graham Gale. So welcome, and we're in your hands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's a great delight to be able to have the opportunity today to present to you guys on the highlights of the Otago Rescue Helicopter Trust for our year ended 30 June 2019. It's been another very busy and satisfactory year with quite a lot of changes. So there's a couple of highlights I'm going to point out, and then there's some other slides I'll take you through. But the main highlights for the year are we've had 1,200 emergency patient retrievals, which is significantly up on last year, at 17% up. We've upgraded the helicopters with a lot of new medical equipment. Further GPS routes have been established to enhance safety and the ability to fly in previously restrictive weather conditions. And there's a new contract that's been entered into with an upgraded service with funding as well as the capabilities. And that's been confirmed from the 1st of November 2019. And Graham will give us a bit of an overview of that in a minute, which has resulted in 4 dedicated machines, 3 in Tyree and 1 in Queenstown. So quite a significant year of change for the Trust. To go into the stats, the patient retrievals, as I say, they're up 17% on last year. Principally, the growth has been in the ACC, the accident statistics there at 34%, and then steady growth in medical emergency and hospital transfers. Those numbers include the service being operated out of Queenstown from 1 November. So we're seeing quite a strong trend in growth, which I'm sure will continue into this year. On our financial side, we've had another very strong year with total revenue of $947,000. This is made up of community donations of $822,000, which we've got very strong support from the community. We're very grateful for the Regional Council for your ongoing support and your sponsorship of $350,000. And I also want to record we've had a very large donation from the Otago Motor Club Trust of $110,000, which has contributed to the replacement of medical equipment. During the year, as the contracts come to an end, we've had a bit of a sort out in the transfer of assets that we, the Trust, previously held when we held the contract. So they're now been donated to the operator, to Heli Otago. And plus with the upgrade of the medical equipment, that's contributed, it was $342,000 for the replacement and upgrade of this critical monitoring and life support equipment in the helicopters. This was completed on the recommendation and with the overview of the Trust's senior medical advisor, Dr. Mike Hunter, and the replacement provided the opportunity to standardise equipment across all rescue helicopters, ensuring that the crews have access to the same medical equipment no matter which helicopter they fly in. So it's quite a significant upgrade, and Graham may touch on that, and later on we're talking about some of the operational stuff. As I mentioned, there's been quite a change in the way the contract, if those of you who have seen our figures before will have noted that we held the contract, or the Trust held the contract. So from the 1st of April, the contract first went to Heli Otago for the period from 1 April until the 1st of November. And then since then, it's been transferred to an organisation called HEMS New Zealand, which is a partnership between Heli Otago and GCH Aviation in Christchurch. And under this contract, Heli Otago continues to deliver its stunning service to the Lower South Island, now also incorporating the Queenstown Lake area that is supported by the Lakes District Air Rescue Trust. The increased specifications in terms of numbers of helicopters and dedicated crews provide an enhanced service in the Lower South Island. And the contract's been awarded on the ongoing committed community donations and delivery that were part of the contract, which is now our main focus of the Trust. So that's all been very satisfactory to get that all worked out, and Graham will better possibly comment on some of that stuff there. We've got a... if I move on to that, Graham. So perhaps if I hand it to you, Graham, to talk about the differences in the contract.
Yep, sure. Certainly, with this contract, they put out a spec, and I think this time last year when we were talking to you, we didn't really know where it was going to settle. They actually asked for 3 machines to be dedicated out of Tyree. That was from Nassau, and 1 out of Queenstown. What this new contract brought about was getting rid of the single-engine helicopters around the country and having fully dedicated crewing and staffing. And just an example of that, Queenstown, prior to this new contract, was just a single-engine helicopter, limited space, limited room, no dedicated crewing like paramedics and that. They were taken off the road if they weren't available. So at times there was long delays and so forth. And that just wasn't Queenstown. That was Greymouth and Nelson and various other locations throughout New Zealand. So it has really made a huge difference within it. So it was three machines in Dunedin, one in Queenstown, and we fought also quite hard to actually establish Tianao back into the system. When the contract came out, Tianao and Gisborne were two of the places, along with a couple of other areas up in the North Island that were deleted off the new contract. We've now got Tianao back in, and they're as available. They're not a fully dedicated base. If the machine's available and there's crew available, they will be used. But it makes sense in that Fiordland and weather windows of opportunity and that, getting in the dark, deep part of Fiordland. So we've still pretty much got the covering the same area as what we were, but the enhancement on the services is a lot better than what it was. You know, and not to harp on about Queenstown or Central Otago, but Central Otago now has the first intensive care paramedics that have ever been based with a helicopter 24/7, and there's the first time ever in the history that we've got RSI, which is another qualification above an intensive care paramedic. So the level of care that we're giving there now is light years ahead of what was happening before. So, you know, that's made a big difference. And also, now that I've taken over Queenstown, I can actually see what's happening in both bases, so I can actually make sure the right resource is going to the right one, and we're, you know, very close working together. As far as the medical equipment that we've got on the machines now, of upgrading that, some of it was 20 years old and was starting to fail, and we just can't have it, particularly when you've got a ventilated patient. But we've put on the very latest generation. It was over quite a period of time, the intensive care team, along with the paramedics, sort of the equipment that we've got now. So we can take a young neonatal transfer and even against a... even an adult, and the equipment will cover right across that range. It's very, 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 very smart gear that we can monitor and use the total life support package, like the ventilators and that. So it's a massive difference. We've continued to increase our capabilities. Well, on November 1, we put an EC-145. The GPS routes, just while you've got it up. The GPS routes, they've continued to just provide unbelievable, you know, outcomes for the patient, and particularly that one down to Invercargill. We can go down there. When we can't fly VFR, we can go down now in the cloud, and I think I've mentioned it before, at 1,200 feet, and it's given extra care to those patients in Invercargill, and being able to get the ICU teams down there, deliver care and retrieve those patients back. We couldn't do that before. And we've developed them even further now. We've got into Central Otago, into Dunstan, which has actually opened up the whole of Central Otago, and also continuing on up the coast into Oamaru, Timaru, and our friends in Christchurch are doing into the hospital in Christchurch and as far as Kaikoura. So it's a big step up in their capabilities and being able to do that. The new equipment, and I touched on the new equipment that's gone into the helicopters and the medical equipment. That's the ProPack and the life support, the orange one. The ventilator is the orange one. It's standard against our machines. The one in the background, the greyer-looking piece of equipment, is the life pack. And it's very clever. We can transmit ECGs from a patient to the cath lab in Dunedin. So when we get to the hospital, that patient doesn't have to go down through A&E or anywhere else, go straight to the cath lab. The clinicians in the hospital The cardiologist can see exactly what's wrong with the patient and put them under the cath lab, put a stent on or whatever. So they've got that information in real time coming from us now. Big step forward. The other piece that Martin's just brought up there is for doing CPR on a patient, it connects with the monitor, and actually what it does, it does the heart compressions. If you've got someone that needs full CPR, we're the only one in New Zealand that has one. It's the very, very latest. We've already used it about three times. And so when we go away in the helicopter, we're often just a crew of three, a pilot and two medics. And if you have someone that arrests with you at the time, you know, and even when the pilot's got to roll his sleeves up and do CPR, you know, you can't stand any more than about, you know, we do 2 minute shifts and then swap over to the next one. So if you've got someone they're needing to draw up other drugs and that, and you're swapping around, it's pretty tiresome operation. I have actually brought a patient out of Wanaka in the past that we've had to do CPR in flight all the way into the hospital, down into the theatre doing CPR on a patient. This here takes all that away. It's consistent. It only does it when it needs to, and it does it at the right rate consistently. So, and it allows the medics to, you know, intubate or do whatever they need to do and give the advanced life support to the patient. It's, you know, it's expensive, but it integrates with all the other pieces of equipment. So it's very, very good. November 1, when we had to, when the contract started, we put on an EC145, which I had already had that for a year, which is this machine here. A little bit bigger than the BK on the inside, more room for the medics and that to do advanced care and advanced life support on the patient. And it's into the new generation of aircraft. Our contract, when we put it to NASA, included a brand new machine, which is an H145 T2. And we've got it here. We had a launch for it on the 13th of August, and I ended up doing the first job on the 14th of August. You know, and that was 6 weeks from the time from when it left Germany to come to New Zealand. We're the first in Australasia to have an H145 on EMS. It's the first commercial EMS, H145 in New Zealand. And you say, well, did you need to buy something like that? If you don't have one of these aircraft in Germany, there's 85 rescue helicopters in Germany, you will not get a contract unless you've got this aircraft. It is very smart. It's the latest technology. It's the same cabin as the EC145 that you saw just before, but it's got a closed-in tail rotor, and if anyone's heard it over the city, it's very quiet. It's the quietest in its class. It's a little bit faster. And the cabin's the same size, but it's what it can do. You know, I can program it to actually go and land outside my hangar in a hover, hands off. It's very, very clever. You know, if you were going, lost your orientation overland or at sea, it will come down to 150 feet, hands off, and not go any further unless you give it the command. It is a super smart helicopter with the very, very latest, you know, avionics and autopilot that's in the machine. So it's a very hands-off helicopter flying. It's smooth, quiet, fast, and it's got the capabilities. So that's pretty much our fleet now, where we're running still backed up with the BKs, with the glass cockpit, etc. And that's what we've got, you know, and we're already just about a year through the first year of the contract.
So before I just carry on and finish up, Graham's the star of the show with the technical knowledge. So has anyone got any questions of Graham around the new service or?
Yes, Scott.
Yeah, the period of time that you've got with your contracts, ACC and so forth, is that, you know, a realistic time that you're able to plan for the cost of these helicopters and so forth moving forward?
That's easy to answer, no. Really simple. It's not, you know, the likes of the lead-in. You know, if we were to put in another one of these aircraft today, it's 2.5 years lead-in to actually physically get the aircraft. And the aircraft is a $15 million helicopter.
Yeah.
You know, and over a 4-year term is not, just doesn't fit, does it? You know, literally, you know. However, you know, we're looking beyond that, you know.
Well, maybe the whole package in, you know, ACC, you've got a certain sponsorship, for example, from this council. And I suspect it's not guaranteed into the future, but, you know, like it's working or not. Or you're completely dependent on community donations to actually keep going. What's the bottom line?
So perhaps if I can have a crack at that. So just looking at the contract, so the HEMS contract, you'll be aware there's been a full review nationally about how these contracts are handled.
Yeah.
And in the South Island, I think it's been a really good result. You've had the two dominant operators,
yeah,
Garden City Helicopters and Heli Otago, join forces together and to get that contract. And that's now been extended out to 4 years, and I can understand from Graham's perspective as the operator, it is a very capital-rich pursuit. The Ministry of Health have come out and said they definitely want community funding. So inside that HEMS contract, there's a higher expectation on us from Otago, as well as conjoined with the Lakes District Trust out of Queenstown. And one of the areas that we're looking at is making sure we're getting some funding equity out of Southland, so to ensure that the communities are funding their respective pieces. So we haven't officially had, from the Ministry of Health, the middle point there. We've got them, the contract's just been signed, so they're coming down to present to us, but it's sort of a high level, it's numbers around, we're expecting a funding target of about 1.2 million for this region down here, which we get very good support from the community, but as you can imagine, 1.2 million is a lot of money to raise.
Yeah.
And I think we've had very, very good support from you guys. There's a lot of Clinton Lions and various different community groups that have supported us. So, but no, it's hard work.
Okay, so to answer that question, you're dependent on community funding to actually make it work.
Yes. Yeah, the Ministry of Health model is, so that's through the whole nation.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of their model of how, you know, it's similar to hospices and other parts of, I suppose, St. John as well would be a parallel sort of funding model.
Michael?
It's not similar to hospices, though, is it? I mean, you're offering actually an acute facility. So people are in trouble. It's an acute emergency. And you're taking them from X to Y. I'm really worried about hearing that you need a 1.2 million out of the Otago community, because what that says to me is two things. One, the ministry are accepting responsibility for a service that seems growing in importance for their health services, but two, if you don't raise it, what does that mean? And so there is a risk and an uncertainty around that. This isn't your discussion, I guess, but I think we need to raise it with my colleagues that there needs to be some pushback on this. If we're providing the service in a geographically diverse area, what range do you guys look after? 500k from one point to another?
Graham?
We're looking after really 28% of New Zealand.
Oh, no, you're looking after Southland, aren't you?
Yeah, 28% of New Zealand's landmass. So, you know, Waitaki South, including Stuart Island.
Yep. Right. So you're very essential now in terms of acute facilities, aren't you?
Yeah, we certainly are. Yep. So I think our masters, NASO, which is a joint body of Ministry of Health and ACC, so our funding masters are an organisation called NASO, which is the National Air
Ambulance
Sector Office. So they are—that's Michael. Your discussion would be aimed at NASO. It's their funding model that they've looked at over the whole nation.
But the Ministry of Health are dependent upon you for your service to get accident victims, in particular, and health emergencies to a place where they can be treated in an acute facility. Is that correct?
That's correct. And if I take you back to the usage, if I just can run my little... Here's the first slide. So So the ACC is effectively the St John Ambulance call. There's a flight desk in Wellington where those emergency calls are put through. And then the medical emergency and hospital transfers, that's a clinical pathway coming from the district, you know, the wider district.
Search and rescue, are people just not as stupid as they were, or is there something else behind that?
Search and rescue goes up and down. Really.
Wow, that goes down a lot then, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not a big thing, you know. If we could end up with a search for a few days type thing, so you just don't know on that. It's not predictable at all.
And Graham, would that be fair to say too that your dedicated rescue helicopters with twin paramedics aren't necessarily the best machine to search with?
Right.
You have a night vision. Your capability in certain conditions is outstanding.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But I think some of there's been a shift, I think, from the search and rescue because of our capabilities. It's taken the search out of it. And now, you know, if they know there's a medical event or an accident and they know it's a known location, where that's in the hills or wherever it is, they'll send us. So those numbers now are probably reflected into the medical emergency or ACC, where one time they would have been a search and rescue because you would have done the search with the other part of it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Stephen. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to hear the contracts all settled down. It's been a period of uncertainty and been a lot of work and negotiations as go through, but and it'll never be perfect, but it is what it is now, and you've got some certainty for the coming couple of years, which is good. And it's been a reasonably smooth transition from the old service to the new, from a customer's point of view, if that's the right word. It's been seamless. But ultimately, there's been a lift in service. But I just want to dig into this community funding a little bit. Because it's a new setting, the trust no longer holds contract. It is responsible for raising the community funding, essentially, start and finish.
Yep.
And the area this service now covers is essentially the Waitaki River and Twizel South.
Pretty much. Yeah. Give or take. Yeah.
So there's a big chunk of it outside Otago. And a big chunk of the work comes from outside Otago. You haven't got the numbers specifically today, but the hospital transfers, we did a trip into Southland with the Rescue Helicopter Trust, and Graham and flew a couple of his machines down to present to the Southland business and local government community in the autumn. Can't remember the time, but... And making them aware of both the new contracts, the quality of the service, and actually the service that they are receiving. And one thing that was a real eye-opener for me that day was understanding how reasonably limited the services available at Kew Hospital actually were. So if you need a stent, if you need dialysis, there's a whole range of things. These gentlemen might be able to name some of the others. You actually need to get to Dunedin. And... The hospital transfers, there's a big number of them are actually coming out of Southland, out of Kew Hospital. And many in Southland will not understand this. And the reliance on, and when I say many, the community, the wider community. I'm not sure how we can assist Mr. Dippy, but I'm sure Council was happy to, and I've been communicating with our local government leaders down there. Didn't pull it off this year, unfortunately, but we've got it on their radar. But we just need to jointly raise the awareness of the need for this $1.2 million to be raised out of the community and get over this parochial Otago, Southland, TRNL base, what was, and understand what it is today, the benefits that community is getting, and start them contributing, because there's been very little come out of that community. And that's not a criticism. It's just been the structure and the way it's all. And it might actually mean that it's no longer the Otago Rescue Helicopter Trust. You know, I think everything needs to be on the table. But there are community trusts down there that might be able to fund. But it's essentially a plea for the Southland community to contribute to this community funding on a sustainable basis that allows Graham to push a green light when the phone goes. And so that's something I think we can work jointly with the trust, and it's something that those that are going to be around next Tri-Nam need to just keep an eye on and assist with.
Can I just mention something else, just to do with the likes of that, those transfers? You know, and you've all read in the paper just of late, with a neurosurgery, you know, it's limited periods here. You know, if you need neurosurgery, I don't know about today, but, you know, a lot of times at the moment here or in Southland, anywhere in our region, you may get carted to Christchurch, and we are the option that's being used to get you there in the time frame. So, you know, if we had a patient that needed neurosurgery intervention at the moment, you know, we want to have you in Christchurch within an hour and a half. You know, and some days we've gone to Christchurch with patients out of Dunedin and also out of Invercargill. So it's really increased our workload along with a lot of these other pathways. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening there at the moment.
Trevor.
Oh, thank you. thanks for the report. It's really good to catch up on what's been going on. And I know it's been an extraordinarily active year in a lot of ways. I guess that a question that always bubbles around in my head is that, I mean, we talk about having to raise a community contribution, but it seems to me that traditionally the Ministry of Health and its, you know, its predecessors have always said transport, that they're not going to fully fund transport of people who are injured or sick, whether it be in the helicopter, whether it be St John's Ambulance, whether it be the Wellington Free Ambulance, whatever it happens to be, is that that there is still a community requirement to fund a proportion of medical transport. And I guess that 1.2 million is your share of that. Now, so what that says to me is that it doesn't just require... I don't know that you would get away with making an exemption of the helicopter system and saying that's got to be fully funded without actually having a look at the whole transport thing. And that of course, would be at a high level, high political level. But on the other hand, the thing that I always wonder about is that we've got a really, really comprehensive service. Now, we've got four helicopters, and I know that there's they're well occupied with medical emergency and such like, but we also have St John's Ambulance rushing around the cities, and we also have a country land-based country ambulance network as well. Is there an opportunity to take a look at how we transport people, where we transport people, and rationalise all of those things, particularly land-based versus air, given that we've invested so much in we, that is, the community, the trust, and the Ministry of Health and so on, in a helicopter service? It's quite a big question, but a rational, to my mind, it seems that you could get to the point where you've just got too many services and they're starting to compete against each other. Does that make any sense? Is there a response to that?
Yeah, I'll just touch on the first, but is it being rationalised? There's certain areas, the likes of these clinical pathways that they've put in, that patients would have normally, and the STEMI pathway at the moment, stroke patients, etc., that are being transported now by us. And they're wanting to have, you know, we bought one out of Queenstown this morning that came in here, and the goal is to get that patient in town in the right care within 90 minutes. You can't do that by road. Those ones were having... You know, I affected outcomes where they were coming by road before, unless they presented themselves really sickly, so really sick. So, you know, so now we're, you know, they have brought those in, so that has increased their workload considerably. And you know, so what it is doing, it's leaving those community rural ambulances in those areas. You know, and I've been saying that for a number of years. You've got the structure in place, you've got the helicopters in place, you've got the pilots and all the medics and all the training. You know, the bit that you're paying for now is a little bit of this, which is the flying component.
Exactly.
And it's leaving all the medics and that in the right, you know, the country ones in the right areas, leaving the Wanakas and the Queenstown with the facility within that area. So there is a shift, but it's quite a big mindset. And we've got a little bit of work that we're starting now of getting the threshold right of where it comes to a call taker, you know, of... I think, personally, I think the threshold's too high that they've got to be, you know, meet this criteria before they send a helicopter. And where I'm saying, I think it should be make the threshold this high, because in this little piece at the top, you're missing out on some of those people that should have been carded. And so the ones that are, you know, in hindsight, maybe they could have gone by road, is very, very low. You know, so I think we can increase the service and take the pressure off their local communities.
That changes the balance of the helicopter services versus the existing land-based service too. But as you say, that takes a bit of a mind shift. Yeah. But thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Michael?
Yeah. Thank you all for the great work you're doing. Marty or Graham, I'm not sure who this is for, but I probably should know the answer. If I live in a Bacargill and I'm, say, a serious stroke victim, I've got to get up here to Dunedin. I'm one of those hundreds of people. Am I going to get a bill for that? Because if I fall over at Signal Hill Road where I live now, I'm sure as hell going to get a bill for the ambulance to take me down to Great King Street. Are you?
Short answer is no, Michael, you're not.
Well, we've got to check his
well,
passport.
We possibly. 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 So from a community funding point of view, so we haven't... So from a, the... to me, the whole topic around funding, and I can assure you that the trustees have agonised about this for many years, particularly as the contract has been renegotiated. So the NASO organisation, I think, has had a look, Trevor, at a wider place around. So in the air sector, obviously there's fixed-wing transfers as well. So there's quite an extensive number of flights on a fixed-wing plane if you need to go to Christchurch or Auckland or whatever. So it's not only just helicopters. The land ambulance in the St John, I think so that's another whole topic in its in itself. As we've looked at trying to make sure that the funding equity, I think, is the really important thing. And to Stephen's point about Southland, when we went down there, basically, sort of, you know, shaking the tin, we think their contribution's approximately 300,000. But of course, we've got a lot of data now from all the flights, so we can that will be a live target as to how that goes. There is a real challenge in our geography. With Central Otago, with a lot of tourists and a lot of adventure tourism and a lot of more difficult roads and you know, winter conditions, etc., in Central Otago. So from the Queenstown, the resident base up there, there actually isn't enough people to fund the activities that are going up there. So I think that's another very good logical argument to run with NASO around how that goes. From what I can understand, we are... the service is at a very high level, and we're paying no more than any other area. And in fact, in Auckland, as an example, they raise significantly more money on their model of how they run their rescue service there. So I think we are really trying to get the premium service for the best, you know, value for the wider communities, and looking through and that whole wider area. So if a message from me today is, I think the service is significantly improved having a dedicated base. The upgrades, not only in medical equipment, but in aircraft and aircraft technology that Graham's invested in. I think our communities are served by an outstanding service. Is it expensive? Yes, it is, because helicopters are expensive. And that's our mission, obviously, is to carry on and raise this $1.2 million in a fair and equitable way.
Councillor Hope.
Thank you, through the Chair. I just want to ask you, how long is it from the flight from Kew Hospital to Dunedin, please?
To go down and pick a patient up and bring them back, you've got about 2.5 hours at best.
Yep.
We say it's an hour down and it's an hour back, but you know, probably today I'll probably come back in 35 minutes, but it might take me 50 minutes, 55 minutes to get there. But we just talk round numbers, but on a normal day with no wind, it's roughly around about 45, 48 minutes to go there and back. But get a tailwind like today, and you know, we can cut it down quite considerably.
Do you think that's not half the problem, but do you think, well, from, we live at Road's End, as you know, you come on my flight path, and I know it's 6 minutes from, my neighbour tells me, from you picking them up to taking them to the hospital for us driving an hour and a half. So there's a huge difference for a start, right? So do you think the whole thing that you have to sell to Southland also is the time factor? Do you think that they understand that? Do you think most people understand that whole hospital transfer or... any transfer that when you pick somebody up, if it's remotely or it's in the back blocks, wherever?
I think, you know, people need to understand about the hospital transfer. We just don't go, you know, pro- probably 90% of the time that we're going down to Southland Hospital, or even possibly higher than that, we're going with a full-blown intensive care team. So it's a level of care. They're now getting that care that they'll be getting in the intensive care unit in Southland Hospital. So their rehabilitation's already started.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, can, you know, and they do transport numbers of patients, and we had to pick one up off the road a couple of days ago, where the patient deteriorated at Pukerau, and we had to go down and get that patient, with a paramedic team. So
yep.
It's understanding, you know, there's one thing, it's not just to go and get the patient and bring the patient back, it's the level of care that they're getting when we get there.
Yes.
And sometimes we've been there, you know, it might take an hour to stabilise that patient, enough to be able to transport that patient.
General, there is a sad tradition in Southland for those who have got long memories of being asked to jointly fund health facilities in Otago and Southland back in the 1980s when Otago Hospital badly wanted its first ever CAT scan machine, old technology now, but it was cutting edge then. They went down to Invercargill and rattled the tin and had success. They built up a local committee to help. I was part of it, to raise money for that first CAT scan. And then when the scanning machine arrived, Southland people found they were very low down the list of priorities for getting access to it in Dunedin Hospital. So older folks down there will say, been there, done that, thank you.
If I can perhaps just comment, so on the time we went down with Graham and the machines, and there was a whole sort of posse of us went down, I think we got a very good reception from Southland. So I think they're under no illusions as to the quality of the service and the data, the statistics, medical community down there certainly know that. We've got a shopping list of suitors who we want to go and talk to. And as you'll be aware, there is quite significant community funding there. So we're just, that's our work in progress. I can't report, I've got nothing to report at the moment. We didn't really want to finalise stuff until we knew what the contract was and what the expectation was. So certainly with Vivian as trust manager, that's one of our, that's our current, you know, work in progress, particularly to make sure that the funding is equitable. We now have got a bigger geography that we're covering, and that to me is a very important thing for all of us to ensure that it's fair and equitable wherever you live.
Brian, just following on from Michael, I mean, today they announced there's no Highlanders games in the cable, so it's not a good... Try tomorrow, not today. Two quick questions. Like this whole midwife childbirth, you know, Lumsden, all this, is there an opportunity there for the helicopter service in terms of getting expectant mothers quickly to hospitals or whatever? That's the first question. And the second question is, this new hospital that's being designed here, are you guys being communicated with, you know, like, is it going to be bigger and better in terms of your service and the way it's integrated into the hospital? But the first one, expectant mums, is there an opportunity there?
Well, we're transporting them anyway. Anyone that's needing care or transportation, we are, you know, to my knowledge, we are taking those patients now. We've got a significant number out of Queenstown. We've been into Lumsden. You know, yes, that is an issue down in that area. But if we need it, we'll go and do it. But it's not just...
So what, when you hear on the news that, you know, somebody gave birth to somebody on the side of the road, what's the deal with that? Have you not been communicated with?
No, didn't know about the job, you know. If we haven't been, you know, if that's happened and given birth on the side of the road, did we get called? I don't know if we did get called. I know the job you're talking about. I don't think we actually got called.
Yeah, because they're using that information to say they need a better facility in Lumsden, whereas maybe I should have just called it.
Well, there is that. Just remember, there is the odd time that we can't fly if there's fog. You know, so whether there was a weather issue, I don't recall that particular job. However, when we've been called to go and pick up patients out anywhere out of Central or Lumsden or wherever, you know, we have had, I don't know, three or four born in the back of the helicopter. So it does happen on the road and in the helicopter. And it's a straightforward birth is straightforward. It's a complicated birth is when we get complications coming. But, look, I'll just very quickly tell you about a mission that I had about a month ago, or 6 weeks ago, out of Queenstown, to go and pick up a mum. I got called, and at the time, it was when we had the last snowfall. I said, look, at the moment, it's snowing that heavy out, and I've got this patient expecting a mum that's going to go to in McCargill. And I said, look, we can't do it. Get a road truck, go now. An hour later, they rung back and they said, they said, can you do this mission? I said, no, look, I said, Invercargill's out. It's below our legal minima. It's snowing heavily. You know, we just can't go. And they said, we've been told we can't get an ambulance now. It's got to be a four-wheel drive. It'll be another hour before we get it. And it's got to have a police escort taking it to Invercargill. And I said, look, I said, the weather's still no good if you're going to Invercargill. I said, can you go anywhere else? Either Greymouth, Christchurch, or Dunedin. Could you do any one of those? So I got a couple of my guys together, and we had a close look, and we ended up going and retrieving that patient. It looked like we were going to go to Christchurch, but managed to, we come down the Waitaki, got over into the Waitaki, and come back into Dunedin around Snowstorm. This is in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning. So we are, you know, we'll do everything we can, but at times it is a challenge. You know, yep. So.
No, thank you. And the new Dunedin Hospital, are you involved in that process?
Well, we've certainly, yes, we are, yep. And as far as making sure that we get the right helipad on the roof. Well, there's been one meeting. We want to be able to put two helicopters on the roof.
Okay.
You know, which is, you know, you'll often see us going around in circles while we're waiting on one helicopter to clear the roof now. You know, and we'll come in, you know, the other day we had three coming in at once, pretty much at once, so we're just leaving the first couple of crews there. The last machine will come in and shut down on the roof, take that patient away, and we'll bring all the crews back to Torrey. So,
okay.
We have had some dialogue.
Two helipads.
We need a dual helipad that we can, because we're the amount of times that we've got dual missions, and I think it needs to be future-proof for the future, for having... that you can put either two helicopters that are our type of weight, or maybe one NH90. You know, if you had a major event, a civil defence event, major earthquake or whatever, that you need to bring people in, you know, it would be crazy at this stage to exclude, yep. You know, our NH90s with the Air Force being able to land that.
Oh, thanks for your work. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we must draw it to a close, but yep. Thank you very much, Martin, Graham and Vivian, for your report today. It brings us up to date, and it's pleasing to see the growth and stability in the rescue helicopter work you're doing. So thank you very much again.
Thank you, and thank you for your support.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, hope I never ring you.
Thanks, Martin. See ya.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Brings the Finance and Corp to an end.
Right.
So who's on next?